Hawser stared at Fwee Song, who said,
"There. Now, as I was saying..."
Hawser didn't listen. The fat prophet's cruel faith was little different from a million others. Only the degree of its barbarity made it unusual in these supposedly civilized times. Another side effect of the war, maybe. Blame the culture. Fwee Song talked, but there was no point in listening. Hawser recalled that the culture's attitude to somebody who believed in an omnipotent god was to pity them, and to take no more notice of the substance of their faith than one would take of the ramblings of somebody claiming to be emperor of the universe. The nature of the belief wasn't totally irrelevant. Along with a person's background and upbringing, it might tell you something about what had gone wrong with them. But you didn't take their views seriously. That was the way Hawser felt about Fwee Song. He had to treat him as the maniac he obviously was. The fact that his insanity was dressed in religious trappings meant nothing. No doubt the culture would disagree, claiming that there was ample common ground between insanity and religious belief, but then what else could you expect from the culture? The adherents knew better, and Hawser, while not agreeing with everything the adherents stood for, respected their beliefs. Their whole way of life, almost their every thought, was illuminated, guided and governed by their single religion philosophy, a belief in order, place and a kind of holy rationality. They believed in order because they had seen so much of its opposite, first in their own planetary background, taking part in the extraordinarily fierce evolutionary contest on Idir, and then, when they finally entered into the society of their local stellar cluster, around them, between and among other species. They had suffered because of that lack of order. They had died by the millions in stupid, greed-inspired wars in which they became involved through no fault of their own. They had been naive and innocent, over-dependent on others thinking in the same calm, rational way they always did. They believed in the destiny of place. Certain individuals would always belong in certain places, the high ground, the fertile lands, the temperate isles, whether they had been born there or not. And the same applied to tribes, clans and races, and even to species. Most of the ancient holy texts had proved sufficiently flexible and vague to cope with the discovery that the adherents were not alone in the universe. The texts which had claimed otherwise were promptly ditched, and their authors were first ritually cursed and then thoroughly forgotten. At its most mundane, the belief could be expressed as the certainty that there was a place for everything, and everything ought to be in its place. Once everything was in its place, God would be happy with the universe, and eternal peace and joy would replace the current chaos. The adherents saw themselves as agents in this great reordering. They were the chosen, at first allowed the peace to understand what God desired, and then goaded into action rather than contemplation by the very forces of disorder they gradually understood they had to fight. God had a purpose beyond study for them. They had to find their own place, in the whole galaxy at least, perhaps even outside that as well. The more mature species could look to their own salvation. They had to make their own rules and find their own peace with God, and it was a sign of his generosity that he was happy with their achievements, even when they denied him. But the others, the swarming, chaotic, struggling peoples, they needed guidance. The time had come to do away with the toys of self-interested striving. That the adherents had realized this was the sign of it. In them, and in the word that was their inheritance from the divine, the spell within their genetic inheritance, a new message was abroad. Grow up. Behave. Prepare. Hawser didn't believe in the adherents' religion any more than Balveda had, and indeed, he could see in its over-deliberate, too-planned ideals exactly the sort of life-constricting forces he so despised in the culture's initially more benign ethos. But the adherents relied on themselves, not on their machines, and so they were still part of life. To him, that made all the difference. Hawser knew the adherents would never subdue all the less developed civilizations in the galaxy. Their dreamed day of judgment would never come. But the very certainty of that ultimate defeat made the adherents safe, made them normal, made them part of the general life of the galaxy. Just one more species, which would grow and expand and then, finding the plateau phase all non-suicidal species eventually arrived at, settle down. In 10,000 years, the adherents would be just another civilization getting on with their own lives. The current era of conquests might be fondly remembered, but it would be irrelevant by then, explained away by some creative theology. They had been quiet and introspective before, so they would be again. In the end, they were rational. They listened to common sense before their own emotions. The only thing they believed without proof was that there was a purpose to life, that there was something which was translated in most languages as God, and that God wanted a better existence for his creations. At the moment, they pursued this goal themselves, believed themselves to be the arms and hands and fingers of God, but when the time came, they would be able to assimilate the realization that they'd got it wrong, that it was not up to them to bring about the final order. They would themselves become calm. They would find their own place. The galaxy and its many and varied civilizations would assimilate them.